Do where can I? Let's see where the glory land. Let's do that. 514. 514. The glory land way. Let us sing. I'm in the way, the bright and shining way. I'm in the glory land way. Telling the world that Jesus saves today. Yes, I'm in the glory land way. I'm in the glory land way. I'm in the glory land way. Heaven is near and the way grow it clear, for I'm in the glory land way. Listen to the call, the gospel calls today. Get in the glory land way. Wonder, come home, oh, hasten to obey, for I'm in the glory land way. I'm in the glory land way. I'm in the glory land way. Heaven is near and the way grow it clear, for I'm in the glory land way. Onward I go, rejoicing in his love. I'm in the glory land way. Soon I shall see him in that home above. Yes, I'm in the glory land way. I'm in the glory land way. I'm in the glory land way. Heaven is near and the way grow it clearer, for I'm in the glory land way. Amen. Well, today, last week, we took a little break from our study of Job and we went into the book of Acts. Got a halfway through and I said, okay, we need to get back to Job. But as I looked through Job, I decided to do something differently. So a lot of what we've been reading from Job chapter 1, 2, 3, all the way to 18 is Job going through all this catastrophic, you know, things and events that happen in his life. He's an upright man. He's following God's commands. But the devil is allowed by God to attack Job. Now, God allowing this would be to test Job. But the devil, his thing is to break Job, to break his allegiance toward God. He wants Job to lose his soul. He wants Job to die physically. If God would allow him to have killed Job, he would have. But he's interested in his soul. He wants his soul dead. He wants him to lose his allegiance to God so he can rot in hell. Because he knows that's where his fate is, right? You heard the term misery loves company. Okay, it's true. The devil already knows where he's going. The demons already know. The fallen angels, they know where they're going. And that's why they're trying to get us to go there too. If you can't beat the father, the enemy, which is God, they can't beat him. So what do you do when you can't beat the father? You go after the what? The children. And where are the children? That's why he's attacking us so much. So it's important for us to understand how to react when we go through trials and tribulations. That's what, go ahead and turn to John chapter 1, because we're going to finish that. But I want to tell you what we're going to do with Job. I'm going to go through Job and I'm going to look at all the chapters that have to do with his friends, Bildad and Eliphaz and the rest of them, telling him that he has some secret sin, that you must have did something bad, or God wouldn't have did this to you. God doesn't punish people who are good. He only goes after the evil. You must have did something bad, and this is back and forth. Then Job defends himself, and there's a lot of wisdom in what Job says, so we can learn the wisdom of God versus the philosophy of man. So it's been a good study. But what I want to do is I want to skip through all of that and summarize it, all the back and forth. Then I want to get to the point where God corrects Job. It's very, and that's when we realize that even though Job is spiritual, and we know he is, because he's mentioning a lot of things that were not going to even happen to thousands of years later. The coming of the Christ, right? The coming of grace, salvation through Christ, all that stuff that he knew, even the crucifixion he talked about. So it's a lot of prophecy in Job. It's good stuff. But what we want to look at is, with Job, he's an upright man, but there was something that even he liked. There was something that he was doing that was not right in God's eyes. Okay? So that's the human part. So even though we do right and we follow God's commands, we're still human, right? And we still have to be corrected, and God's going to correct them. And then there's a lot of things to know about the creation of the earth and knowledge, secret knowledge that only God knows. And that's some fascinating stuff. So what I want to do is I want to go through it, summarize the speech that going on between Job and his friends. And then we want to get to that good part where God starts correcting him and go deep into a lot of those things. Because when we get into that, we're going to learn a lot about how the earth was created, about science. A lot of it is because with this evolution being fed down our throats, we need to know the truth about how everything starts, the true knowledge. Then we'll even learn about dinosaurs, because they'll tell us, oh, you can't believe Christianity because Christianity doesn't say anything about dinosaurs. You look in the Bible, you can't find one word about dinosaurs. And we know we got archaeological evidence, you know, paleontology, whatever you want to call it. We got all kinds of evidence that dinosaurs exist, and the Bible doesn't say anything about it. Oh, really? Yes, it does. See, the word dinosaur didn't exist during the time that the Bible was written, but the Bible used the term dragon. I want you to go through, and I want you to go through a dictionary, a concordance, and I want you to look up the word dragon, and I want you to look at and know that that word dragon means dinosaur. It's all over the Bible. It's all in there. And in Job, we're going to find some dinosaurs. We're going to talk about a big dinosaur as well that sounds like the dragon shooting fire. All that's right there in the Bible. So we're going to get to that. All right, let's go ahead and finish up James, though. Because I like the book of James, and I didn't want to just, you know, jump through it. And we understand that the first part of chapter 2, we're going to highlight, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. That's various kinds of trials and tribulations we go through. Why do we count it all joy? That's an open question to anybody. Why do we count? Why are we supposed to be joyful when we go through all these trials and headaches and everything we have to go through, the struggles that we do every day, the struggles we have to go through? Why do we count it a joy? That's my cane. Don't worry. I'll get it. Nobody? All right. I can't have y'all all holding your hands up at once now. Okay. Put your hands down. Nobody? Come on. Nobody. You do have to go through trials. Why? Why do we have to go through trials? Look at that. Look at that, my brother. Thank you. I appreciate that. That's fine. That's fine, brother. Thank you. There's a hand that go up in there. What's going on?
We're supposed to be joyful when we go through trials and tribulations because we to know that Jesus is with us through trials and tribulations, and that is going to make us stronger for the things to come.
Okay. So we should count it a joy when we go through the trials and tribulations, because we should know that our Lord is going to be with us, and he's making us stronger, right? That's good, because if we continue, she's absolutely right. In verse 3, it says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith, that's going through all the stuff we go through, all the hard stuff, living on this earth, it worketh what?
Patience.
Okay? And patience has her perfect work, that you may be what?
Perfect.
And entire, wanting nothing. So basically, this is the key. This is the formula. Is the fact that we have to go through all this stuff we go through. He's testing us. We're going through these trials. It makes gives you stronger patience. What does it mean? It means, let's say if you've lost some people, they would commit suicide if they lost their jobs and couldn't take care of themselves and end up on the street homeless. Now, if you're here and you're homeless, here you are surviving. I want you to think how strong you are and how much patience you have. Because you got people that cannot even deal one day with what you've been going through all these times, some of you for years, living on the streets, right? And so that takes patience. What happens? That means if you ever did get back on your feet again and you got into an apartment and you lost your job again, well, you're stronger now. Why? You've been through it. You got people that can't go through it one time without committing suicide. They lose all their money, guess what? Suicide. Because they were dependent on the money, but we're dependent on God. They lose their clothing. You're not worried about it because you worship a mighty God that can give you clothes, that can give you food, that can give you shelter, okay? That's going to watch over you. That's the difference. But you got some people that depend on their riches, their material things, and once they lose it, they lose it. You know, they're no good anymore. So as we go through all these things, it gives us more patience so that we can go through this again and again, and guess what? It's going to make you patient for something else that happens. Because you're going to know, okay, God's taking care of me. I've lost my job. He's taking care of me, right? I didn't have no money. I didn't have no food. I didn't have none of those things. I didn't know where I was going to lay my head. But God just seemed to take care of me, you know. And you understand. You have patience. And so that gives you perfection. You don't have to worry about those things. Matthew chapter 6, do not worry, right? Don't worry about what you're going to eat or what you're going to wear. That's what the world worries about. It says, seek first the kingdom and its righteousness. The kingdom is the church. We do what we're supposed to do, worshiping, helping out as much as you're doing your part, right? Telling people about, hey, you need to come over here to Main Street, you know, and that way they can hear the word. Brother Kelly, hey, they'll feed you. They'll give you some, you know, some toiletry items and things that you need, blankets, clothes, and they also give you the word, man. And they're real people that actually love. That's you doing your job. You're out there working. You're putting the kingdom first. So guess what? God's going to make sure you get some clothes on your backs. Going to make sure that you have a place to lay your head. Going to make sure that you have a hedge of protection over you while you're out there on the streets, so you can keep coming back, right? Keep telling people about this ministry here. And also, he's going to, you know, make sure that your strength, your patience is going to build perfection in you. So that's what we got to understand, regardless of how hard it is. A lot of us go through some hard times and pain, sicknesses, illnesses. And you wake up and you don't feel good, right? You're sick, but you got to push on. You hurt. You wish that the God would come and take you now, right? Because you're in pain all the time. And some of you go through emotional pains and withdrawals. You know, people who fight addictions. It's not easy, right? Going through addictions. It's hard. It's a struggle. And so life is very tough. But what are we? We're soldiers in God's army. That means that it's a spiritual battle, Ephesians chapter 6 tells us. We're not fighting against flesh, but we're fighting against spirituality, you know, spiritual realm, principalities in high places. So God has to prepare us. All this stuff we're going through right now is like boot camp. You're being trained as a soldier. So every soldier has to go through boot camp so they're strong enough to go to war. We're in a spiritual war. So all this stuff we go through is we keep it on a spiritual level. And what you have to think of is that this is God perfecting me. God making me better. God making me stronger. So I'm not angry with God, but I'm rejoiceful. Thank you, God, for giving me patience. Thank you, God, for perfecting me, right? And it's just a change of mindset. So we're going to go ahead and finish. Let's look at chapter 12. Chapter 12, we talked about blessed is the man, and we're in James chapter 1. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Very self-explanatory. What does it mean? You go through all the trials and tribulations, all the hardships. You have to, whatever cards you're dealt with, that's what we have to deal with, right? And a lot of us, I mean, it's us in this world, sexism, racism, all these isms, you're going to have, right? So as a woman, you're going to have to face prejudices and challenges. It's a man-dominated world, okay? It really is. And women are discriminated against a lot, okay, in this world. And we don't think about it, but they are, okay? When you have a job that where the CEO makes this amount of money and a woman makes this amount, why is she making less? Because she's a female, you know? And so these are things that hadn't changed. 2020, we still have those battles, right? Whether it was is the pigmentation of your skin, whether it's how you speak, your dialect, your language, your culture, all those things separate us and make and gives you different challenges. Maybe you're not born with all your limbs, right? Maybe you are missing a limb. Maybe you can't see. Maybe you're blind. Maybe you can't hear. You know, there's physical difficulties that we have to go through, and life is hard. It really is very hard and challenging. Whatever it is that we got to go through, and all of us, I could go through each and every one of us here, and all of us got a story, right? All of us have a story. All of us are going through challenges. You ain't on earth. You're not living on earth, planet earth, if you're not struggling, okay? We're not in heaven. We're not in paradise. So I know all of us are struggling. But let's look at that verse very carefully. Verse 12 says, blessed, that word blessed, and the Beatitudes, when Christ is saying, blessed is he, that is the poor in spirit. Blessed, that word blessed is translated happy. Happy is he, okay? Happy is the man that endureth temptations. Whatever the temptations are on this earth, and you endure it. You don't give in to it. You fight it. For when he is tried, he shall receive a crown of life. You've got to go through it. You got to go through the temptation, but you got to fight it. You got to earnestly fight for the faith, which is the Lord, and this crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love him. God says, if you love me, you got it. That's what it's all about. It's all about keeping his commandments. I'm tempted to steal. Nobody's looking, right? I'm tempted to steal. Ain't nobody going to know but me. But the Bible says, thou shalt not steal. So because I'm going to offer my body up as a living sacrifice, that's how you offer your body up, as a living sacrifice. Because of God, I'm not going to do it. Even though I can get away with it, I'm not going to do it. And I want to curse. I'm angry. And I don't. Because of the cause of Christ. Profanity. Profane. I don't want to be profane. I have an opportunity to kill my enemy. You know? David had an opportunity to kill Saul in that cave, that dark cave, but he didn't do it. Because he said, that's an anointed man of God. God anointed him to be king, King Saul. I'm not going to touch him. I'm not going to kill him, but I'm going to let him know I could have. So he tore off part of his clothing. And after a while, he showed him, said, look, man, when you were in the cave, you couldn't see. It was dark. I was right there. I could have killed you, but I didn't. Right? So I don't kill my enemy, because God says, love your enemies, right? Pray for those who persecute you. That's hard to love your enemies, isn't it? It's hard. It's difficult. That's why I say Christianity, not an easy journey. Christians, the toughest people I know. When I look at you guys, I look at the toughest people I know. It is hard to be a Christian. It's hard to follow the commandments of God. It ain't easy. It's not easy. Even the world will tell you what? Well, anything that's worthwhile, okay, is if it's worthwhile, then it's going to be a difficult journey, right? If it's worthwhile, it's worth fighting for, right? It's going to be difficult. There's nothing. It's going to be a hard journey. If you and most people that are successful will tell you the same thing. Not all of them. Some of them are born with a plastic or not plastic, but a golden spoon in their mouth. You know, and they're just handed down. But a lot of them had to work for it. You know, they had to work very hard for it. So let's look at 13. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempted he any man. God, why'd you do that? You know, just like, oh, man, God, you know I got a weakness for cocaine. Why did you have to give me that big money? Why did I have to win the lottery? You went down there and you played the lottery. You gambled. And then you won yourself $300. Then you went down to the crack house and you got you some crack. But guess what? It's God's fault, right? God did that. God made you win. God gave you that. And why did God? Wait a minute. Hold it, hold it, hold it. 13 says, let no man say when he's tempted that crack was your temptation. Okay? Let no man say when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God. Uh-oh, we got to remove God out of it, the scripture says. Now it's going to tell us why. For God cannot be tempted with evil. Okay, God's not tempted by cocaine. Why would he tempt you with cocaine? He's not tempted with alcohol. Why would he tempt you with alcohol? He's not tempted by wild women or wild men. Why is he going to tempt you with that? So we can take God out of the equation. God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempted he any man, any of us. God does not tempt us to do evil. He doesn't want us to do evil. He tests us, but he doesn't tempt us. Okay, now I was tempting cocaine. I was craving cocaine. Where did that craving come from? And then I just happened to get the money from winning the lottery, okay, to go buy the cocaine. I want to know where that temptation came from. If God didn't do it, where did it come from? Must have been the devil, right? The devil did it. That's it. The devil did it. Well, let's see what verse 14 says. 14 says, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away by his own lust, that's your desires, and he's enticed. Brother Eric gained 50 pounds eating cake and ice cream. Well, who put that cake and ice cream in Brother Eric's mouth? With Brother Eric did that. Okay. Now, in order for me to get cake and ice cream, I had to buy it, right? Yeah. So then I had to get the money. Then I had to know where it is to go get it. Then I went and got it. Then I ate it, even though I knew I wasn't supposed to. So apparently I must have been lusting after it. Oh, yes. Okay. So that means my mind, the heart, was on it. I was lusting after that cake and ice cream, okay? Then I found a way, money, to get it. I knew I could buy it, but now I got to figure out where it is, so I'm going to go to the Kroger's and go get it. Then I'm going to bring it home and eat it. Now, I wasn't supposed to because, ooh, secretly, Eric's diabetic, right? Doctors say he ain't supposed to eat no that sugary stuff. But I was lusting after it, lusting. I was lusting. So that's how we do it. All of a sudden, Brother Eric just had sex with his neighbor's wife. Ooh. Wow, that just happened, right? No, it didn't just happen. Brother Eric was looking over the fence as she was sunbathing. Oh, lusting and wanting it. Then he watched and said what time her husband went to work. Okay? This is what happens when we commit sins. It ain't just something random that happens. It's after our own lust. It's in here. It's in the brain. That's what makes us sin. But we're so quick to blame God, right? Now, we can't deny it because guess what? Even in the beginning that happened. You remember Adam and Eve in the garden? Adam, why did you violate my law? It's that woman you gave me. She tempted me and I did eat. Okay, now that's, I looked at that and I'm like, wait a minute. This is what Adam did. The woman, okay, I'm giving the sin to the woman is the one that did it. She's the one that made me sin. The woman that you got. Whoa. That's brazen right there. Not only did Adam blame the woman, Eve, he blamed God. The woman you gave me made me do it. Well, what did Eve say? The devil, the serpent in the garden, he beguiled me and made me, and I did eat. Nobody wants to take responsibility for themselves. They want to blame everybody but themselves. But Eric didn't get 475 pounds. Because there was something in the air. You know, it wasn't something I breathed from the air. It didn't make me 475 pounds. I ate myself to 475 pounds. Thank God I'm not there now. But I did, right? I did. And I ate myself to 475, and I lusted after everything. Every buffet, I knew where all the buffets were. Okay? And when we were gorging on our seventh plate at a buffet for lunch, we were making plans for a buffet dinner. Okay, so that 475 pounds didn't come on by accident. We have to understand that a lot of what we go through and temptations, we're bringing upon ourselves and we can't blame. And again, please let us not blame God. It says, let no man say when he's tempted, verse 13, I'm tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempted he any man, but every man is tempted, not some of us, but all of us, right, are tempted when we are drawn away by our own lust, our own desires, and then we're enticed. Okay, now I got to have it. I got to have my neighbor's wife, right? And then 15 is going to tell you what Brother Eric's about to do. Then when lust has conceived, it bringeth forth what? Sin. That's the act of getting in bed with my neighbor's wife. And sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth what? Death. Separation from God. That's what it is. That's the formula. So do you want to stay away from spiritual death? Yes. How do you do it? Stay away from sin. How do you stay away from sin? Stop lusting after it. Okay? You have to check yourself. And this is the thing. The devil has already taught us. This is how he gets us. Lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Now, I'm going to explain that in regular terms based on Brother Eric lusting after his neighbor's wife, right? Okay. Lust of the eyes. How did I use the lust of my eyes in this sin? Huh? The lust of the eyes. How did the eyes come in? How did I use my eyes? I looked over the fence. I saw that beautiful body there suntanning, right? And started lusting. So it started with the eyes. All right? Lust of the flesh. How does that come to part? How does that come to play? That body. See, I already know. Apparently, if I'm lusting and ready to have sex with a married woman, I already know what sex is, right? So that means I know how it feels. It feels good to the body, right? So now I'm going to give in. It's all about how it feels. I'm pleasing the flesh, right? That's what that lust of the flesh is. Whatever pleases the flesh. When I got the 475 pounds, I pleased the flesh. It was called my taste buds, right? And I ate it. It was good. I loved it. It was wonderful. Now, I paid the consequences of that 475 pounds with obstructive sleep apnea, right? And struggled. I paid the price. There was a lot of things that came with that 475 pounds. But it was the lust of the flesh, the desire for that food. Now, how about the pride of life? The pride of life. How does that come into play? Pride. How did pride come into it? What did God say about having sex with a married woman in the case of a man? Or, oh, it's adultery, right? Is that something acceptable in God's commands? So, guess this is where pride comes. Well, God says that I'm not supposed to have sex with another man's wife. But the eyes have it all. I'm going to do it anyway. That's pride. That's pride. And so that's what the devil used in the Garden of Eden, right? Oh, God, if you eat of that tree in the midst of the garden of the tree of good and evil, you're not going to die. You're not going to die. For God knows that the day that you eat thereof, your eyes shall be open and you too shall be as God. That's the pride. God says, I am one God. I am the God. Then the devil gave him opportunity to say, ooh, there's multiple gods. I'm a God, you're a God, she's a God, he's a God. All of us can be gods, right? That's pride. That's pride. So it's the I again. The eyes have it all. Whenever the I is the focus, that's when we fall into problems. If we follow God's commands and take I out of it, then that's when we can focus. Gluttony. Is gluttony a sin? All right. So I can sit up here and preach all day about all the other sins that I gave up, but I'm still gluttonous. I'm still in sin, right? So Brother Eric had to repent of gluttony. And Brother Eric had to, you know, you can see the consequences of me getting that sin under control. I gave up so many other sins, but I kept that little secret sin, you know, that violating, eating family bags of tater chips in private, nobody saw. I may eat good meals and vegetarian lifestyle for 30 years, but I was sneaking and eating, you know, big bags of family bags of tater chips and chocolate covered almonds. And still, man, that's gluttony. So that's pleasing the flesh instead of pleasing God. So I had to repent of those things. And so that's what you see the with me right now with the weight loss and everything. It's like hanging on to that one little vice, you know. The devil had me justified. Ah, you're okay. You gave up all that other stuff. You're good. You're good. No, I wasn't, you know. And so that's what we have to understand. Let's keep going. And it says in verse, well, we know what it's going to cause death. 16 says, do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift, every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, which whom is no variableness. And that's variation. Neither shadow of turning. He's not going to change. He's the same God, right? Now, let's go back to the example of the lottery. I'm going to blame God because I got a lot of money, and that's why I went to the crack house and got crack. Okay? I'm going to blame God for that. But what does it say in verse 17? Every good gift is from above. So if this gift I receive is going to help me to do something evil, who gave me that gift? One God. Wonder who else could have blessed me with that gift, you know? Yeah. Oh, can Satan give gifts? Well, you remember when Christ was in the wilderness and he was in 40 days, 40 nights, and if you worship me, I'll give you the kingdoms of the world, right? I'll give you all the riches. And people that worship him, they get all kinds of riches. It might be Satan giving you that just to get you off your rocker, just to tempt you, right? And so don't blame God, you know, don't blame God for it. And just remember that every good gift and every perfect gift is from the Father. The Father of lights, which is no variation. So let's go to 18. If his own will begat, he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. So back then, the first church was the first fruit because that's when the early church, the first generation, showed the way how we're supposed to live through grace, through following his commandments, through the Spirit. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Did you see the formula in there? I want somebody to tell me what formula is in there. Tell me the formula in verse 19. And I want you to put a star by that because that's another formula in James that'll help you through life. I'm telling you, it works. So look at it, read it. Wherefore, my brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Where's the formula? You see a formula there? Raise your hand if you see the formula. Nobody? That's verse 19. James chapter 1, verse 19. See the formula? Wherefore, my brethren, Christian brethren and sisterin, let every one of us be swift to hear. That means be more quickly to hear. But if you're hearing, what are you not doing? You're not talking, not speaking, right? So in other words, be more apt to hear, to listen, than to open that mouth and speak. Control the mouth, right? So let's see the formula here. Every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Wow. I'm going to be slow in anger. Have you ever seen an argument? Right? And it escalates. So what happens if somebody goes and you just listen? You don't speak. You don't try to defend yourself. You just listen. It de-escalates everything. They have nothing to feed on. There's nothing to feed on. I tried that. Because I used to live a very violent life back in the day. You know, a lot of fighting and everything. And it was an adrenaline rush, I guess, back. And I was crazy. You know, just didn't. God watched over me. Seriously. I should have been dead 1,000 times over. But that was all. You know, I'm not going to stand for that. You know, you insult me. I'm gonna back, you know, and I'm going to, you know, and then all of a sudden you're fighting. There's wrath. I tried it one time. Guy came in. I just looked at him and smiled. And I said, Jesus loves you. I just tried to do it. And I smiled. And he got mad. But he was crying. He was laughing. He couldn't stop laughing. And he turned around and he walked away. Because he was really wanting some wrath. And he wasn't expecting that. He wasn't expecting that at all. And then I've heard situations where somebody just came at me. And I didn't say it. I didn't say anything. I just listened. And then they end up correcting themselves. They had to let that anger out. But if I had said something, then it would have escalated instead of de-escalating. How much time we got, Brother Trump? Only five? Okay. Five. All right. Verse 20. It says, for the wrath of man worketh not righteousness of the righteousness of God. I get angry with you. Oh, by the way, let me tell you how to be saved. You see, Christ loved you. wait a minute. We just got through fighting. We just got through having some moments together. You hurt my feelings. I'm not going to listen to you. So now the righteousness of God, I can't reveal to this person that I just had a fight with verbally. Right? They're not going to listen to what I say. I hurt their feelings. I made them angry. And so now I can't. We're not going to be able to go out do what God wants us to do, the Great Commission, preaching the gospel and making disciples, if we cannot guard this thing here, right? This tongue, control the tongue. 21. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness, superfluity, that's the abundance of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. In other words, let's reject all the nasty, filthy sin, and instead, let's take upon the word of God. Okay? Let's feed on the word of God. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. In other words, you can come to church services, you can hear the word, you can read it, and then as soon as you walk out the door, you forget everything that you heard. And you go back to living that same life that you did before. That's not what you want to do. You don't want to be just a hearer of the word, but you want to be a doer of the word. In other words, let's us study James chapter 1, and then let's leave here and apply James chapter 1 instead of forgetting it, right? But verse 23 says, for if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like unto a man beholding his natural face in the glass, for he behold himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner man he was. I'm going to go in the mirror. I'm going to look at myself to see how I look. And then as soon as I turn around and walk away from the mirror, I forget what I look like. Forget exactly what I look like. Now, you'd hate to do that if you were naked in front of the mirror, right? So you go there naked and you're like, oh, I'm naked. I better put some clothes on. Then you forget and you walk out the house naked. Okay? Not good, okay? And it's the same thing about hearing the word of God and then forgetting it and going out there in that world. You're naked at that point, right? That means you're vulnerable. Okay, 25. But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty, which is the word of God, and continueth therein, we got to continue, can't stop. I hear people, oh, I've read the Bible all the way through. Have you? No, I haven't. I've studied parts of it. I hadn't read it all the way through. Still haven't read it all the way through. I just study it. Parts of it. They're holier than thou. Now I'm like, do you remember it all? Well, no, but I read it all the way through. Do you apply what you read? Do you remember everything that you read? No, they don't remember. They're not applying it. And they just use that. I don't have to do anything else because I read the whole Bible from top to from the beginning to the end, right? From Genesis to Revelation, as they say. Okay, but whosoever look into the perfect law of liberty and continue therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. It's the ones of us that study the word, hear the word, and apply the word that are going to be blessed. So the blessing comes from those of us that actually use the word of God. If any man among you, 26 says, if any man among you seems to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, back to the tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is in vain. It doesn't matter. I'm a Christian. But then all of a sudden you hear me cursing and I have the filthiest mouth and I'm talking about filthy things. I can't control this tongue. And you're looking at me like, man, he calls himself a Christian, but he looks like the world. So we have to be careful. Now, this last one, if you mark your Bibles, mark this one, because people don't understand. They say, well, I don't like organized religion. I don't like it. It's all corrupt, and I hate organized religion. I'm a spiritual being. I believe in a higher power, but I just don't like organized religion. And they'll tell you, that's why I can't go to church because it's just, religions are too crazy. There's so many different religions. Religion, they'll use that term religion. I said, do you know what the word religion means? And most of them don't. So this is the definition. This is what I want you to use also. Tell them, there's a thing called, what you're calling religion, you're talking about denominational doctrines. Yes, we do have a lot of those, and that does cause confusion. Because man creates things other than what God has placed in the Word of God. That is what they're angry at. You're not angry at religion because this is what religion is. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless. Do you have a problem with visiting the fatherless? No. Or orphans that don't have parents? No. And widows in their affliction? They lost their husband, they lost their wife. And you visit them and take care of them. Is there something wrong with that? Well, no. Okay, in their affliction. And keep yourself unspotted from the world. Do you believe in following God's commands and keeping yourself unspotted from the world? Is that a bad religion? Would you? There's nothing bad about true religion. And that's what true religion is all about. Okay, time is up. So, any questions? Any? Yes. That was the last verse in 23. Where James chapter 1, verse 27, I'm sorry, not 23, I can't see, 27, the last one, that's pure and undefiled. That is the definition of religion. Not denominationalism, not all these man-made doctrines that has nothing to do with the religion that the Bible talks about. This is the only definition of religion, and that's how you get them. Yes. Yeah. That's it. That's true. God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Any other questions or comments? Okay, next week, hopefully if God says the same, since we finished James, we'll do a little summary of the interaction between Job and his friends so that we can go into the part where God actually stops to correct Job. Like, pull your pants legs up, buddy. You've been asking a lot of questions of me. Now I'm going to ask some questions of you. Were you there when the earth was created? He goes on. It's powerful. And I can't wait to get to that point. All right. May God add a blessing to the reading, the study, and the hearing of his word this morning. God bless you all. All right.